All right, wall fans, common sensors, podcast consumers, welcome to another very exciting edition of Common Sense Sundays with Go Tell It to the Wall, hosted by me, of course, your absolute favorite podcast host, the one and only Sean O'Rourke, and this is episode 124, yet another Monday edition of Common Sense Sundays, just for scheduling purposes and all that good stuff. And I'll get into why we missed a couple weeks. It's not anything crazy or important, but before we get there, we always kick things off with our social plugs. You can keep up with us during episodes, after episodes, before episodes, whenever you so please, and you can do that in multiple locations. One of those would be facebook.com/gotellittothewall. That's right, facebook.com/gotellittothewall. You can also find us just by searching. You don't need the actual URL, but we have that fancy URL, so we use it on the podcast. And then, of course, our YouTube channel, youtube.com/gotellittothewall, or @gotellittothewall, all one word there on YouTube. Either one of those is going to take you directly to our YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe and check back for new videos when they get posted. All kinds of video content gets posted up there, in addition to our video feeds of each episode. And, of course, my own personal Instagram account, which is @SoCalSean, 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 right there on Instagram. And you can follow me if you're looking for some photo content as well. And most importantly, as always, is SeanO'RourkeLive.com. Make sure you bookmark. That is our official website for anything and everything having to do with Go Tell It to the Wall. And you're also going to find exclusive content on there that you don't find anywhere else, as well as a link to our Patreon campaign, which is a great way to support us financially if you have the means to do so. And if you don't want to get involved with Patreon, which I don't know why you wouldn't, it's a great little website for creators and musicians and artists and stuff. You can also help us out financially by picking up some Common Sense merch through our merch website linked directly from SeanO'RourkeLive.com. So make sure you're checking those out. Bookmark that website. You're also going to find links to all the social platforms I just mentioned. So if you remember nothing else, like I always say, just remember SeanO'RourkeLive.com. All right. I know we missed a couple weeks. It was kind of unintentional. There's a cold that's really been going around, like lots of families. I'll talk about that when we get to parenting, but we had a little bit of a cold hit my household. My wife got sick. I got a little sick. I'm still getting over it. My kid was quite sick, had to miss some school. She's okay now, but it was just a little chaotic around the house, and I didn't have time to get into the studio because of everyone not feeling well, myself included. So that's why I missed a couple weeks, but we are back to full strength. Well, almost full strength. I don't know if I'm ever at full strength. I've hit that age where I don't really understand what full strength is. Because if something always hurts, something's just not quite right. And that's what happens when you hit a certain age, you know, and it's just, you're never 100%, but that's okay. We're as full strength as we can be here at the Go Tell It to the Wall studio. All right, let's get into some digital trends to kick off episode 124. There was a video that was flying around the social platforms, especially on Twitter lately. And it was actually a local video here in Los Angeles. A couple of teenagers decided to break into the Los Angeles Clippers' new arena that is yet to finish its construction out there in Inglewood. Apparently, they were a couple of Lakers fans because they were wearing Lakers gear. And for those of you not aware, we have two basketball teams here in Los Angeles. One of them is the Lakers and the other one is the Clippers. Personally, I tend to be more of a Clippers fan, but they are kind of the little brother in the city. And they've been building their own arena kind of on the other side of town, and in fact we'll be playing there next year. But these kids broke into the arena that is under construction, decided to run around and vandalize a bunch of stuff and break things and blah 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 blah, you know, the typical things that you see idiots doing on these kind of videos. Most importantly, first of all, wall fans, let's not vandalize things. No reason for this, you know, and you could say, oh well, it's rich owners in the NBA and blah blah blah. No, there's no reason to be you know, so it's because some poor construction worker is going to have to come clean that up, okay? Second of all, even though you shouldn't be doing it, you usually don't want to video yourself, film yourself committing crimes. That is kind of criminal 101. I got to admit, I have not committed any crimes, you know, outside of speeding a little bit, you know, some underage drinking in college. I've never really committed crimes, so, you know, but even I can say from a common sense standpoint, you don't want to videotape the crime as you're committing it, and you especially don't want to show your faces on the video and then post the video of the crime you are committing. I haven't followed up on this story, but I would imagine these kids have been caught and are probably going to face some kinds of consequences. But in addition to all those things, I don't understand taking sports rivalries to that level where you feel the need to go into another team's arena and start destroying things. Just, you know, you can have a friendly rivalry and trash talk and stuff, but there's no reason to destroy property over sporting events. We are talking about millionaires bouncing a basketball and putting it through a net. It's a game. I say this very often about professional sports. There's no reason for this, you know, and all that's going to come of this is these kids are probably going to get in some trouble. They looked underage, so who knows how, you know, how much full force of the law could come down on them. But nonetheless, don't do it to begin with. If you're going to do it, don't videotape it. If you're going to do it and videotape it, don't show your face on the video. And just let's get over this whole ridiculous rivalry thing that happens in many, many cities. Oh, man. P. Diddy, or Diddy, I don't know what the hell you call him. I'm of the age where this guy was Puff Daddy and changed his name a bunch of times, and I guess he's just, I don't know if he just goes by Diddy now or P. Diddy. He was all over the social platforms less than a week ago. I guess some sources had come out and pointed out that he may have been engaging in same-sex relations with other famous musicians, whatever, and it's funny, these names were coming out, something about a Meek, somebody else too, and I was like, I don't even know who these people are. I know who P. Diddy is. It's, you know, it's kind of been around a long time, and so of course everyone started running with this, and they're posting stuff, and in fact I saw people questioning directly certain stars that were involved with this, whether they had engaged in these things or not. Now here's the thing, I understand social media is just, it's an absolute mud-slinging fest, especially on Twitter there. But this always begs to question, why do we care? What is the big deal? Why are you so obsessed with who another person is having intimate relations with? It really doesn't concern you in any way. What do you plan to get out of questioning these people? What are you going to do with that information? Why do you care? All of these questions come to mind as I watch people posting and questioning and all these other rumors and everything else. And again, I realize this is what people do on social media, but for God's sake, someone's sexuality, like, who cares? It doesn't matter who they're sleeping with. It shouldn't affect the way you think of them. You know, we're not talking about sexual assault here. We're talking, you know, accused of consensual sexual encounters with other people. So look at it that way. The other thing that really upsets me about this, and I haven't paid close enough attention, but I know that P. Diddy or Diddy or whatever is getting accused of other things that are actually can be considered criminal, I don't know if it involves sexual assault, but there's accusations of grooming, and this is the real grooming. This is not the grooming that Moms for Liberty and Republicans run around saying. This is the actual grooming, underage kids and stuff like that. So there's actual things to accuse him of. However, it's almost in his favor to have this come out, because now people are just obsessing over who he's having consensual relations with because they happen to be of the same sex, gender. You know, these things just completely blow my mind. I don't know why we do this. Let's focus on the actual bad things that he's doing, the things that could potentially be illegal or are illegal. That seems a little more important to me, you know. And of course, I see this fucking Cobra Tate guy. He's like posting. He's like, oh, answer the question. Answer. Why are you so obsessed, sir? What is what? Why? Do you really not have anything better to do? And I'd like to point out the guy that's trying to question another person's sexuality is also the one that is accused of sex trafficking in Romania, I believe it is. I don't tend not to give a lot of my energy to people like that, but it did pop up in my feed, and I felt the need to talk about that, because for God's sake, come at people for real things, not things that are not important and don't affect you at all. All right, Saturday Night Live, SNL, as it's known these days, their episode from this past Saturday has been trending for the past couple days. And interestingly enough, I saw these posts start popping up like Saturday night, and people are like, this is actually a good episode of SNL. And for those of you not familiar, it's kind of, I don't want to say widely, but most people, especially of a certain age, will say SNL has fallen off a cliff really over the past like 20 years. There was a time when legends would come out of Saturday Night Live, you know, in the 70s and 80s, and then even in the 90s when you had the Will Ferrells and the Norm Macdonalds and those types that were coming out of there. And it's, and you know, maybe it has its moments. I don't know. I haven't watched it really since the 90s when I enjoyed the comedians on there, and also partly when I knew who the musical acts were, which tends to not be the case very much these days. I'm like, I don't know who this musician or singer or band is. I guess I'm old. But I found it interesting, and I was like, why is this one of the better episodes? And then as more posts started coming out, I realized why a lot of people were enjoying this, and it was apparently the host of the episode of SNL, who I am not familiar with what she has actually done, but I see her name pop up quite a bit. Her name is Sydney Sweeney, and I guess she's an actress, and I guess is in that Madam Web movie that is out or coming out that looks like it's going to be an absolute flop at the box office. So I don't know who she is, but apparently she spent a lot of the episode wearing skimpy clothing. And the clip that I have seen most posted, does that make sense? Most posted on the social platforms is her at the end. For those of you not familiar with Saturday Night Live, at the end of the episode, it's always the host and usually the musical guest, as well as the cast members from Saturday Night Live behind them. And they say, oh, thank you for joining. Thank you for having me, blah, blah, blah. And it happens to be this actress, Sydney Sweeney, with a very low cut top. And so people have been running wild with that particular clip. Now, you know what? If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But I did find it interesting that that has been everyone's focus. And I'm curious to kind of go back and see if the people that were posting on Saturday were just posting because they were getting a little eye candy, or if the comedic level of Saturday Night Live on Saturday was actually better. But they did find a way to become relevant again, because you don't often see SNL trending on the social platforms, just because it's not as popular as it once was, you know, like I said, in the 70s, 80s, and early 90s. All right, hashtag Apple. This one's trending right now. It's so funny. I remember a time when I could not escape the Apple announcements. It seems like some of the announcements come out a lot quieter now. Now, I know we talked about the Vision Pro, whatever that thing is that goes on your face. That was kind of a big drop, but apparently hashtag Apple is trending because either today or yesterday or recently they announced a new MacBook Air. This is kind of their thinner laptop, and in fact, I meant to ask my wife before I came into the studio. I believe she uses a Mac for work, but it might be a MacBook Air. I'm not positive of that, but they announced a new one, and of course, when these things happen, Apple tends to take over the trending things on social platforms. And I will say, from a tech standpoint, yes, those of you that have listened to us for years, remember we used to have a tech segment. Apparently, there has been a price drop in the price point on the MacBook Air, and they've discontinued, like, the previous version. You know how that goes. It's their way to upsell you. They come out with a new one. You're not going to get software updates on this anymore. And granted, every tech company is guilty of it. Apple just happens to be the worst. They're like, you get it for a year, and then we're going to stop supporting it, whereas others are like, we'll give you a couple years, you know. So if you're interested in that, Apple is currently trending on the social platforms, and if you want to pick up a new MacBook Air, I believe it was like $198 cheaper than the previous version, which that, I will say, is a positive thing, because with inflation and the cost of everything nowadays, I mean, it's crazy. When you got to buy a new computer, it's like, oh my God, I got to take out a second mortgage. I got to, you know, I mean, not quite to that point, but God damn, everything's very expensive these days. All right, one more thing on the digital trends, and this one is happening today. Hashtag John Candy is trending. That's right, that John Candy is trending today because, unfortunately, it was 30 years ago to the day that John Candy passed away. This one hit. Kind of always hits me when it comes up. I was a very big John Candy fan as a kid, even into adulthood, as I, you know, rewatched his movies and everything else. And there's just so many classics out there featuring John Candy. And so, of course, people were remembering Candy on 30 years later on the date of his death. And the interesting thing I found, just a little tidbit for you. So two things, actually. Never realized, but it coincides with Catherine O'Hara's birthday. I happen to catch that on the social platforms. And for those of you that don't know Catherine O'Hara, you're missing out. But she was in Beetlejuice. She was in Schitt's Creek. And for this purpose, she was actually the mom in Home Alone. And the original Home Alone, you might remember, there is a kind of a cameo, but it's a few scenes by John Candy. And an interesting fact that I actually never knew until recently was that he only worked on Home Alone for a day. He came in, shot for a full day on Home Alone, and apparently didn't even have a script. He just ad-libbed all of the lines, and it's basically him acting with Catherine O'Hara in the, like, two or three scenes that they're in, and all of that was ad-libbed between the two of them, and it gave me even more respect for the greatness that was John Candy. So, you know, unfortunately, we lost him 30 years ago today, but the one good thing is we can always go back and rewatch those classic movies, which just don't get old. I mean, The Great Outdoors, Uncle Buck, oh, so many fantastic comedic films featuring John Candy. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, like, hands down the number one Thanksgiving movie of all time, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. If you haven't seen all of those movies, make sure you're checking them out. I highly recommend it. And if, you know, if you're looking for something to watch tonight, watch a John Candy movie in honor of his memory, because that's what a lot of people on the social platforms are doing today. All right, mental health. I don't want to get too in-depth this week. You know, we have certain topics that come up, and this is something I've broached many times before. But it has come up recently, kind of personally, as well as with other people, especially with, there's this cold roaming around among us. When you got kids, it's like a kid at your kid's school gets sick. Yeah, your kid's going to get sick, and there's a good chance you're going to get sick. And so it kind of goes hand in hand, remembering the feeling of being overwhelmed, not only mentally, but physically. And how oftentimes... when you are overwhelmed mentally, this can manifest in a physical way, and it can affect you in different ways. A lot of people that deal with mental illness, they may not have a physical aspect of it. For me, it does present physically. When I have become overwhelmed, my body, depending on the level of being overwhelmed, I can hit the point of just shutting down, where all I want to do is just lay down, close my eyes, and, you know, it's almost like a... like feeling overstimulated, which is something I deal with as, you know, as I have been navigating obsessive compulsive disorder for the majority of my life. And especially when it comes to socializing. So, you know, they go hand in hand. You can be kind of down about feeling sick, and then you're mentally down, then that it just ping-pongs back and forth. Or for me, it is also very much after over-socializing, I guess you could say. I like to think of it like a fuel gauge. You know, you got to recharge, or a rechargeable battery. And a lot of people can relate to this in very much the way I am. I only have so much time before I've got to rest and recharge and be able to socialize again. And people are always shocked by this because I am a very loud and boisterous person. I tend to talk a lot, and a lot of people know me as a big talker and all this other stuff because that's just how I am out in public. And it's not a faking thing. It's simply I hit a point where I don't want to socialize anymore. And in fact, I almost can't socialize anymore because my tank is empty, for lack of a better word. And then, like I said, that is times when my body can shut down. And I know others out there can relate to this. This is not just something that happens to me. There is an absolute correlation between mental health and physical health and how they can affect one another. And I want you to keep this in mind. Not only for yourself, because don't feel bad, you know, if your tank is a little empty, but keep it in mind for others as well. You know, that's the important thing. Try to recognize it before shutting down, which is what I always try to do. And my wife has, you know, after being together for, oh my God, 11 years or however long it is, and being married for almost 9 years, she kind of tends to recognize the signs. She's like, well, maybe we need a break. No, I'm not going to push you to go to this thing, you know, this function, or even... I'm going to talk a little bit about one of my personal hells as we get into parenting, you know, things like that. So try to recognize it before shutting down and take the time to recover when needed. That's the thing is I used to beat myself up, and I still do to an extent, because sometimes I have to spend a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon simply just shut down, eyes closed, you know, not even necessarily sleeping, but just recovering mentally and physically. So take that time when you need it and don't feel bad about it. You know, and for me, that's always a challenge because I expect myself to be doing something constantly. You know, my wife, again, points that out quite often. She's like, it's okay to just sit. And then I think even people that don't deal with mental health problems or mental illness also deal with this. You know, it's very hard as a society for us to learn to just sit down and relax and do nothing for a day, you know? And there's factors that can come in that force you to do that. And we've had these crazy rainstorms here in Southern California lately. And it's like, well, we can't really do anything right now because the streets are running like rivers. And that did happen recently. We got hit. I know we've talked about that recently on episodes, and it happened again since our last episode. Had some crazy rain rolling through here in Southern California. And it's okay to turn down plans, like I said. You know, and people should be understanding of that. You don't have to get into detail and say, I'm having a rough time. But there's the other side of that, too. Recognize that if someone is turning down plans or not showing up to your party, don't necessarily take it personally. There could be an underlying reason that they're not coming, you know? And sometimes you do want to take it personally. If they call and they say, well, I hate you and I'm not going to come hang out with you, then okay, yeah, you know, you brush it off. Don't let it ruin your life. But at the same time, you're going to have friends who maybe just need a little extra time and just don't have it in them to do things, you know? Most importantly, like I said, is take that time to do nothing at times. And like I said, it can be really challenging because you want to feel like you are being productive constantly. And that's, as a society, we have learned to condition ourselves to always be doing something, working 12-hour days and all this other stuff. And you're like, I can't waste any time. I'm only going to sleep 4 hours a night and stuff like that. And just it's none of it is worth sacrificing your mental health and or your physical health. All right, let's move along to some positive news here. It's funny, I was waiting for it because I didn't get the cold as bad as my wife and kid. They both had the cough and the congestion. I had a little bit of a cough and a little bit of an earache. But my wife yesterday started losing her voice, and I went, oh, shit. I hope that's not coming for me. So luckily, I was like, I'm getting in the getting in before the voice is gone. So hopefully if I lose it, it's just going to be over the next couple days and not before the next time I'm trying to get into the studio here. All right, positive news. I'm being selfish on this one. Although I know many other parents out there can relate to this. And in fact, I was talking to a coworker earlier and talking about Girl Scouts. And she was like, I've always thought about putting my kid in Girl Scouts, but I don't want to deal with all the cookies and the fundraising and stuff. It's like, I get it. And we do it, and we sell like gangbusters. Thankfully, we've got friends and family that are always like, give us the Girl Scout cookies. I know I said this last episode. Shout out to all the family and friends and fans that have purchased cookies from my kid. But we're in the final stretch. There's like a week left, maybe two. And from a positive news standpoint, I love helping out, and I love raising money for the Girl Scouts. My wife does the brunt of the work. I mainly move cookie boxes around and tell people, hey, buy cookies and you know, organize the cookie boxes. But I always love this time of year because I get a little overwhelmed by the amount of cookies in the house, and then it dwindles, and then we hit that final week, and it's like, all right, and I'm not talking one cookie box. You know, if you've ever seen the Girl Scouts out there selling cookies, you know, at the cookie booths and stuff, there's the individual cookie boxes, and then they come in a box of like, I want to say a dozen of those cookie boxes, a dozen or more. And as I said on previous episodes, the house was just full of these boxes of cookies that needed to be sold, and that has finally diminished. Now I can actually vacuum and mop my floor, although don't get me wrong, you all know me. I was moving the boxes, but now I can do it without having to move a bunch of cookie boxes. There's like one left. I'm like, all right, we're in the final stretch here. And until next year, when we get overwhelmed once again by the cookies. The other thing is the temptation. I used to have such a gigantic sweet tooth, just constantly. I would not go to bed without eating something sweet, and really kind of toward the end of COVID was when I went on this road trip and I wasn't eating sweets and I lost even more weight than I had kind of during lockdown. And I said, you know what? I'm going to avoid the sweets, but once in a while, especially around like the holidays and stuff. And when these Girl Scout cookies come out, the temptation's right there. I didn't do it in one sitting. It was like three sittings, but I definitely took down an entire box of those s'mores, which is one of the newer flavors. And, of course, I've had a few of the tagalongs because those are the ultimate Girl Scout cookie. So that's finally no more temptation, no more working around boxes of cookies in the house, these giant boxes. I mean, like I think I mentioned before, it was and we don't have a small couch. This is a sectional, I guess, you know, so it's like a big couch with the chaise and where you put your feet up. And when the cookies originally got delivered, it was like the entire length of the couch and the entire height of the couch on the back of it was like cookies. It's like, holy crap. And doesn't work well for me and my over cleanliness of the house, as well as my obsessive compulsive disorder. So we're at the final stretch of that. All right, let's talk about some common sense. Get some water from my Go Tell It to the Wall mug. You too can have a Go Tell It to the Wall mug. You can pick it up right there through the merch website on SeanO'RourkeLive.com. All right, common sense. Moms for Liberty, they're back in the news right now. And apparently, I believe 60, this might have been yesterday that this ran, because I believe 60 Minutes runs on Sundays. It's been a long time since I've watched an episode of 60 Minutes. I tend to catch clips when something important happens. And there is apparently on 60 Minutes, they interviewed a couple of moms from Moms for Liberty. And literally, the interviewer, the host, I'm not sure of his name, brought up like tweets that the Moms for Liberty account was putting out there. And one of the big things that Moms for Liberty kind of leans on is this whole grooming thing. That's why we're going to ban these books because they're grooming. We're going to ban drag queens because they're grooming. We're anti-LGBTQ because they're grooming. And so this host was like, what exactly do you mean by grooming? And these two women who are high up there in Moms for Liberty, I don't know what their fucking titles are, who the fuck cares, they really had no answer for what exactly grooming is. In fact, they just kind of kept leaning back on these stupid talking points that we hear spewed out of the mouths of these Moms for Liberty, who in fact are not Moms for Liberty, they're Moms for taking liberty away. And if you want to talk about the real grooming, they are grooming because they're not letting kids read books. They want all kids to think one way. They don't want, you know, and they say, well, it's the rights of the parents to decide. And it's like, sure, if you don't want your kid to read that book, you have the power to not let them read that book, but you do not have the power to prevent other kids from reading those books. That is not your right, however they think it is. And it's all about Moms for Liberty. We know this. It's all about outrage without any kind of factual basis or anything like that. It really is ridiculous. And I'm hoping we're going to soon be done with this Moms for Liberty stuff. Unfortunately, I think our kids are going to be still dealing with these idiots because they are grooming the next generation of Moms for Liberty. And it's probably not going anywhere anytime soon. All right. State of Alabama. This has been a constant thing and I have railed against it. Ranted, all kinds of things when it comes to women's physical rights, women's rights to their own bodies. You might have heard that Alabama has banned IVF, and this is basically medical help for women to get pregnant, men and women, because, you know, if you're a heterosexual couple, you know, you get the stuff from each side, you put it together and you put it in the woman. And this has been a common thing for a very long time. In fact, without saying names, I've known people personally that have done this successfully and unsuccessfully, you know, and so Alabama just said, no, embryos are actually children. So we cannot let couples or people, it doesn't even have to be a couple, be impregnated by IVF. Now, of course, people have pushed back at this. It just gets crazier and crazier and crazier. All I have to say about this, science cannot be criminalized. Now, if it's creating bad things, criminalize it. You know, we're very worried about people having children, yet we're creating robots. You know, I understand it's a fine line, but it should not be criminalized. And really, this is just more men wanting to control women. And in fact, I can't tell you the exact senator or congresswoman. There is a Republican in Congress who has come out in favor of this ban of IVF in Alabama, when in fact it was uncovered that she had used IVF to become pregnant. So, for me, but not for you, is basically, that should just be on the Republican slogan, for me, but not for you, because that's what it is. And as I always say, men have no right to speak on this. Men don't know what it's like. You have no right not criminalize, but you dictate what women do with their bodies. You have no right to that. It's their own bodies. But of course, it's Alabama. All right, Bobo. Good old Bobo out there in, what, Colorado or whatever? Poor people in Colorado. Hopefully they're going to be done with her soon. I think she's losing popularity rapidly there in Colorado. And this came up because she's constantly, tweeting and coming out and railing against people committing crimes. And most of the time, people haven't actually committed crimes. She likes to call the Biden family the crime family. And it's like, what crimes? Do you have evidence of this? No, but they're crime family. And she's railing against this. Well, we've come to find out. And this is, she's been arrested. Her ex-husband's been arrested. I believe her son has been arrested before. Most recently, he and some friends were arrested on 5 felony counts, I believe, involving breaking into cars, stealing property, all this kind of stuff. And so here's the thing, it's one thing if your child is having trouble and is in criminal, by all means, get them help, support them in every way you can. But the hypocrisy coming from Bobo, this is Lauren Boebert out there in Colorado, it just does not stop. And it's like, do you not see yourself in the mirror? And, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. She's shooting cannonballs when her house is completely out of order. So maybe worry about your own family before you're worrying about other people. All right, the Supreme Court, what a fucking joke they are. They came out and ruled on the Trump being left off ballots in certain states. I believe Colorado was the first to do this, and a couple of other states followed suit and were trying to keep him off the ballot. And it got all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court came back and said this is actually the responsibility of Congress to leave him off the ballot. States have no rights. Let me repeat that. States have no rights to leave certain candidates off of the ballot. Let that sink in for a moment. Because here's the thing, I don't want to get into the legal aspects of it and whether they are right or wrong, however you want to look at it, but this is another example of hypocrisy. Because, if you remember, the Supreme Court ruled not long ago that women's rights needed to be decided by who? Individual states. So you're telling me when it comes to women's rights, the individual state should rule on it, but when it comes to voting for people, and we are talking about essentially a convicted felon here at this point, they have no right to decide that. Well, Supreme Court, you cannot have it both ways. It doesn't work like that. But that's where we are. And more we're seeing how much the Supreme Court is an absolute joke. All right, speaking of the Orange Menace, I have not actually read the full article yet. But I've seen snippets from it. And I hate to say it because it's so funny, because I saw, a screenshot come up regarding what happened in Boston in 2013. And I do not, ever since then, I have not wanted to support this particular publication that is Rolling Stone. But they have come out with an article, and it apparently had some information from White House aides that were there during the time that the Orange Menace was in the White House. And they claim that there was rampant drug use throughout the White House, and specifically like Adderall, Speed, and Xanax. Apparently there was somebody, a doctor, I'm finger quoting for those of you that are not watching the video, was just readily handing these out not only to the president but to everybody working in the White House. Honestly, it's not shocking if you have watched many of these people close to the Orange Menace and the Orange Menace himself speak. There's definitely something going on there, I mean, trust me, I'm not a saint. I've been around people who have used certain substances, and you can see the signs. But like I said, I have not read the full article, but I do recommend checking out the article on Rolling Stone again. And for those of you that aren't aware, we didn't have a podcast at the time, and I don't know if I've ever talked about it on the podcast, but after the Boston Marathon bombing, Rolling Stone saw fit to put one of the bombers, the one that was captured, the one that was not killed but actually captured, on the cover of their magazine. And I saw absolutely no reason to glorify the young man, the young terrorist. And so ever since then, I have said I do not support Rolling Stone. However, this does seem like it would be an article worth reading. So as much as I don't want to promote Rolling Stone and giving them any kind of money, might be worth checking out the article itself. All right, let's get into some entertainment news. And then we're going to wrap up episode 124. All right, I've been trying to get this in every time. The listening to segment. We talked about The Drowned's new album last episode. And this one, it's funny. I really should have gone back and checked. Because I know I've talked about this band before. And I don't think we've done a listening to. But there was an album I left off of our top 10 that should have been in there. And I think it was this particular album. But lately I've been listening to a lot of Not. N-O-T. Not. They put out an album last year called Stop the World. It is fantastic start to finish. And in fact, I have a very good friend that does a 50 album countdown every year. And he's very musically inclined, much more than I am. If you do my top tens, it's like some punk and ska and maybe a little grunge. You know, he's got everything there. And his number one for 2023 was actually Stop the World by Not. And I've just been obsessively listening to them lately, that album. And part of that is also I'm hoping to see them at Punk Rock Bowling this year. They will be playing a club show actually on the Citrus pool deck there at the Downtown Grand, which is great. Because I don't even have to leave the hotel and just head down to the pool there and go see Not along with Bad Cop and All, and a couple other bands are on that. And on that note, actually, I don't even have this in my notes. It was kind of crazy. And I was talking to friends recently about how, like, the club shows at Punk Rock Bowling just were not looking that great. It was like, I don't even know if I'm going to get any club show tickets here, you know, and maybe I'll pick up one or two just because. And I bought an early bird ticket, so I get in a little bit earlier. But then over the past couple of weeks, they were just like, bam, here, bam, here, bam, here. And in fact, that one. And then they announced Catbite, Buck09, and somebody else's. Oh, Suicide Machines. And I went, holy shit, that's like three of my favorite ska bands. So it seems like the club shows have been picking it up a bit. And interestingly, Catbite then announced their only California show of this year. But I'm officially ticketed to Punk Rock Bowling, bought a ticket for their only California stop this year, and the last one to get is that club show there at Punk Rock Bowling. And after only seeing them once on their very first trip to California last St. Patrick's Day, so almost a year ago, I'm going to see them possibly three times over the course of like 6 weeks. So it's looking, club shows are looking better and better there for Punk Rock Bowling. And if you have not been checking out Not, they're such a great band, but then you end up, you know, certain band names, you're like, it's like Rancid. When I search Rancid things, it's like getting memes of Rancid Milk. It's like, no, I mean the band, not Rotten Things. And not as one of those, but make sure you're checking out Stop the World. Album came out last year. All right. Golden Voice. They decided to break the internet. Like a week ago, they announced a huge show happening here in Pomona. I want to say it's June 8th. It is in June. It's in the beginning of June. And they put out this announcement, and it is just utterly ridiculous, the amount of bands that are going to be on it. I would say the amount of bands is very similar to the when we were young, and everyone's like, there's no way this festival is going to happen, and then it happened, and then it happened again. They've done it twice now, and it's one of those lineups where you're just like, oh my God, how are you going to fit all of these bands in here? We're talking Iggy Pop, The Misfits, Black Flag, Fear, among so many other bands. And so, of course, people were like, well, I got to go to this show in Pomona. You know, people wanted to travel in. People in California are like, oh, my God, huge festival in Pomona, blah, blah, blah. Well, tickets went on sale last Friday, I believe it was, or maybe it was the Friday before, whenever it was, not important. And they basically broke the internet. And here's the thing is I never thought I would see punks unite and actually talk good about Ticketmaster, because it's put on by Golden Voice, but it's being handled by AXS for ticketing purposes, and went on sale at 11 a.m. So I was already sitting here, but at 11 a.m. I was like, oh yeah, and I go on and I'm like, okay, let's get tickets. They just went on sale. I'm sitting in the queue. If you've ever had to buy concert tickets, or I don't know if it's the same thing for sporting events, you're sitting there and it's like, all right, you're in line. Sit tight and watching the thing move. Like, all right, this is taking a little while. I'm chatting with my friends on Discord, a couple of whom actually had gotten tickets pretty easily because they jumped on before 11, a couple also being frustrated, and then I'm scrolling through social medias and waiting, and people are like, I'm trying to get the tickets, and sure enough, I get in there, and I'm like, cool, I'm in, you know, and usually, if you have never bought tickets before, usually when you get past the queue, they're like, all right, you got 10 minutes put, you know, pick your tickets and put them in the cart and check out. And it's like, cool, I'm in. Let me put this in. It's not working. I can't add it. What's going on? I can't add it. 10 minutes later, it kicks me out. Says, well, you got to go. Yeah, you got to get back in line. So I'm going, shit. Second time in line, it's taking forever. I'm just like, all right. And the good, you know, fortunately for me, I'm sitting here doing other work anyway, so I'm kind of looking in, you know, on the video feed. You can't see my bigger monitor here. I'm just watching it there as I'm working on my computer and doing other stuff. Waiting, and finally get through. I'm like, oh, okay, finally. Through the line again. Bam. Okay, add it to the cart now. Great. Get to the cart. I just want to give you my money. Can I check out? Nope. This is you're not going to let me check out? 10 minutes later. Kicks me out. Time's up. At this point, I'm like, I guess I'm not going to this show. But again, I'm fortunate enough that I'm sitting here. And so I said, all right, I'll jump in the queue one more time. And at this point, I'm just like, it's not going to fucking work. I'm giving up on this. Third time around. Third time's a charm, as they say. Finally get the damn thing in the cart. And it's spinning. Lets me check out. It's spinning again. I'm like, all right, I think I'm going here. Here's my credit card. Take it. And bam, finally goes through, and I got my ticket. Quite pricey, but that's the thing. I was talking to multiple friends, actually, because a friend of mine had said that day, it's like if you break it down, because it's a $200 ticket, but if you break it down, it's like $5 a band, and we're talking about Iggy Pop. Like we're talking about legends here. And so it's really not. And I had literally today had another friend say that, because he was like, are you going? I was like, yeah. He's like, and I was like, oh, my God, the ticket, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, no, I've had issues, too, but he got his. And he brought that up too. He's like, it's $5. It's expensive, but it's like $5 a band. And there's certain bands I've never seen. So I was like, I'm probably not going to get another chance to see Iggy Pop perform live. So I'm definitely taking advantage of that. But like I said, utterly ridiculous lineup. And the most ridiculous thing was punks were like, man, who would have thought we'd miss Ticketmaster? Because that's the thing. Ticketmaster could have handled the site traffic with people trying to buy all these tickets. They absolutely could have. And even the, Punk Rock Bowling uses a different ticketing service. Like, I can't remember what it's called, but they handle that kind of traffic. But AXS, nope. And no Values Fest is what it's called. I don't know if I mentioned the actual name of the festival happening there, Pomona. But No Values came out, and probably Golden Voice too, and they were like, we are so sorry. We have fixed it. Please try again. And then I'm getting texts from friends. They're like, oh, did you get this email? And I was like, no, I didn't get the email. What's this? And then I was like, oh, no. They're just sending the email to people who were trying to check out but didn't get a ticket. And I was like, no, I actually got my ticket. We're all good here. All right. One more thing before we wrap up episode 124. Chaser had a huge announcement. They have announced that their new album, and they shared the new album cover art. They got their new album coming out in June. Personally, I don't want to wait that long because I know for a fact the album has been done for a little while. Somebody might or might not have told me, you know, how long ago the album was actually done. But it's coming out in June, so I'm really looking forward to that. And along with that, for those of you that are in the Southern California area, Chaser will be returning to Tiki Bar on April 19th, along with Fourth in Line and some other bands are on there. But Fourth in Line, if you haven't checked them out, you definitely want to do so. If you're on the video feed, I got a Fourth in Line sticker right there. And if you follow my Instagram account, I just posted some Fourth in Line photos that, of course, and to be fair, I know those guys personally, and Eric, the bassist, is a very good friend of mine. But they've been using those photos, so you might see them flying around with my little watermark and photo credit and all that kind of good stuff on there. But I will be out at the Tiki Bar on April 19th checking out Chaser. It's been too long. I was messaging with Mike, the lead singer, the other day, and he's like, can you make it? I was like, Mike, I already got my ticket, dude. It's been because I missed the last time they played a show. It sold out on me, and Mike wasn't even able to get me a ticket. And so now I was like, no, I didn't mess around this time. I will see you on the 19th at Tiki Bar. So if you're in the area and you want to see a good show and come say hi, I will be out there on April 19th at the Tiki Bar in, where is it Costa Mesa? I don't know. It's the OC. I want to say it's Costa Mesa, but maybe it's not quite Costa Mesa. It's in that area. It's not far from Anaheim, you know, south of Anaheim, though, which I love the Tiki Bar. The only thing is it's a bit of a drive for me. And the 19th is a Friday, so I will be spending 4 hours in the car to get to the Tiki Bar down there in Orange County. All right, we are just about out of time, so we're going to wrap it up. Now, as long as my voice holds steady, I am on the mend. I'm feeling much better, so we should be back at it this coming Sunday, possibly Monday. for episode 125, the usual wall place and wall time, although sometimes it's Sunday, sometimes it's Monday. And if you want to know when those things are coming out or be in the know when they actually get posted, make sure you're following us on the social platforms, facebook.com/gotellittothewall. Also our YouTube channel, where you'll catch all of the video feeds for these episodes, which is youtube.com/gotellittothewall or @gotellittothewall, all one word. And of course, my personal Instagram account, which is @SoCalSean, @SoCalSean, @SoCalSean. Lots of photo content coming through there as well. And of course, make sure you bookmark SeanO'RourkeLive.com, where you'll find links to those social platforms I just mentioned, as well as a link to our Patreon campaign and our merch website if you want to support us financially. Those are two of the best ways to do so and keep this Go Tell It to the Wall studio up and running and bringing in new stuff and new concepts and guests. And we've had a high demand for guests to come into the studio, so we're going to have to do some upgrading and rearranging, because the studio is really, really only built for me yelling at a wall. And there's plenty of room for people to sit, but we're going to need to do a little bit of an audio upgrade so we can do individual mics for people. All right, like I said, that's going to do it for episode 124 of Common Sense Sundays with Go Tell It to the Wall, hosted by me, your absolute favorite podcast host, the one and only Sean O'Rourke. And remember, wall fans, common sensors, podcast consumers, until next time, no matter what you do, no matter who you're with, no matter where you go, and especially no matter why you are doing it, always, always use common sense.